Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. Greg, we've had plenty of discussions through this season about the challenges of playing with COVID, and especially with Penn State, with their several new coaches. This segment, I would like to take a look at how those new coaches did. Now that we have the benefit of hindsight, we could look back on the season. Penn State brought on four new coaches, three of them on the offensive side of the ball, one of them on defense. That was John Scott Jr. as the new defensive line coach. So let's start with that. John Scott Jr., what kind of job did he do this year?
Yeah, you know, obviously I think that that John Scott Jr. was a guy that probably was the most, I think you could say, disadvantaged coach on the staff. You know, Sean Spencer left, January 31 of last year, and because of that, John Scott Jr., by the time he got to Penn State, was really not able to host any recruits, so he was impacted that way, and he really wasn't able to spend any time with his players. You know, the way the rules work in the offseason, he was able to be around a couple of winter workouts, but he was really going to get to know those guys during spring practice, Jim, and then they, of course, canceled spring practice and everything else until the abbreviated camp season started in September. So he's probably by far the toughest coach to evaluate of James Franklin's staff members at this point, just simply because of the fact that, again, you know, he didn't really get a lot of time with his guys prior to the start of practice. And then once they got to practice, you know, it was a very quick season. I think we talked to him once, and usually we get to talk to the assistant coaches a little bit more, both prior to and during the season. So, yeah, it was he's easily the toughest coach to evaluate. I think, obviously, the pass rush maybe had some drop off, just like the entire defense, but I don't think it was very noticeable in the sense that, you know, you can blame him and say, well, they brought him in and things really went poorly. So, I mean, I think you give him a solid B, Jim, BB plus this year, and obviously we'll expect a little bit more in a new year.
There's a couple ways to evaluate these guys. First of all, how did his group do? But also you can look at how did individual players do, and did the veterans improve in any way? Were there any of the youngsters who stepped up who you may not have expected previously? Were there some pleasant surprises? How does he do in that kind of evaluation?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if there were any pleasant surprises, to be completely honest with you, on that defensive line. And, you know, the thing that fans are going to need to see is, are there surprises this coming year? You know, this is a very young defensive line all of a sudden. You know, I think we were both shocked that Antonio Shelton elected to play his sixth season of college football at another school via the grad transfer in the transfer portal. So you lose him. Obviously, you return P.J. Mustipher, but you lose Jason Alway. You lose Shaka Toney. You know, getting the Temple transfer in, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, Jim, because I butchered it so many times now, but you get a second team all AAC selection in, and that will certainly help. But, you know, I think you need to see the surprises this year. You need to see someone step up and really make a difference, because while the Temple transfer and the Deesa Isaac are expected to be the starters, you know, they're going to need more than just those two guys. And when you look at the depth chart, it doesn't really give you much reason for optimism at the moment. I mean, the defensive line is in a pretty tough place right now. I know they get Derek Tangle as well from Duke, and that's another good transfer portal get. And, you know, Penn State's obviously still looking for guys that can help it in the transfer portal, but ultimately that's not going to make the entire difference. That's not going to make things completely better in the new year. So, you know, while there were no, like, pleasant surprises this year, I didn't think, with that defensive line. You know, I guess you could maybe throw Hakeem Beamon into that conversation. There were times when he looked pretty good while he was out there, but, you know, Devin Ellis, when he was on the field, which was few and far between, but, you know, there were some moments for him when he looked okay. So we'll see. But, I mean, you look at the three deep and they're down Shaka Toney. They're down Jason Otway. Shane Simmons obviously moved on to defensive end. So, you know, of your three deep, you have Adisa Isaac back. You have Nick Tarburton back, who has a history of not being able to stay healthy. And you have Smith Vilbert, who didn't show a ton during his time at Penn State. So all told, Jim, I think that, you know, when you talk about trying to evaluate John Scott Jr., I just think that, you know, there were some surprises this year that maybe you didn't see coming. But to me, almost all of his valuation has to be rolled into this year and the new year, and we'll see how things shake out.
No doubt it will be a test for him with all of the changes coming at the defensive line. All right, let's go over to the offensive side of the ball, and let's start at wide receiver with new coach Taylor Stubblefield. That's a position that has not been performing well over the previous couple years. Stubblefield comes in. I don't think the fan base had a lot of confidence in him, but he, I believe, did better than we expected because his group did better, correct?
Yeah, I mean, again, another position where you go into the new year with question marks about it. And I thought we would see more from Cam Sullivan and Brown in 2020 and Daniel George in 2020. But ultimately, you know what? Jahan Dotson was, quite frankly, robbed as a guy who was, what, a third team all Big Ten pick and didn't show up on any of the All-American teams. And I'm convinced that the voting for those probably had to be done so soon. I vote for the AP All-America or all Big Ten team, and we had to add the votes in by mid-December. So for the Big Ten, there were still a couple of games left. So I can understand how that happened. But yeah, I mean, Jahan Dotson was fantastic, and Parker Washington was, of course, a guy who really developed and showed that he can be the receiver of the future. You know, with Jahan Dotson, we assume he's coming back, but as we talk about this, we have not got an official announcement from him yet, and he just may end up going the Shaka Toney route, Jim. If you remember, Shaka Toney never put out one of those fancy social media graphics or anything like that. He just returned for the 2020 season, so we could certainly see him coming back, and that would be a big boost. But yeah, with Stubblefield, you know, I remember him and James Franklin both talking, I guess it was right around this time last year, Jim, about the fact that they wanted you know, some stability at that spot because they lose Jarrett Parker. You know, they had some turnover there. David Corley did not work out. And I think James Franklin really felt like he had to have a guy come in who could be the guy at that spot for a number of years and you know, and really kind of develop that, recruit that, et cetera. And I think Stubblefield did a nice job. You know, they have a tremendous group of 2022 receivers already in the fold. They recruited the 2021, you know, they get Harrison Wallace late. That obviously was a big help. So I don't know how you give him a bad mark at this point. You know, again, would you have liked to see some more from some of the other receivers? Yes, no question. But did you like what you saw from the guys who played a lot? I don't see how you answer that question any other way, but yes. And, you know, the recruiting has been good. So I would give him a big thumbs up, Jim.
Very good, Greg. And you mentioned some of the 2022 recruits. We are going to get into the 2022 class a little bit later in the show. So stick for that. Let's go to the offensive line, Phil Troutwine. I'm not sure a lot was expected of Taylor Stubblefield at wide receiver, but I got the sense an awful lot was expected from Phil Troutwine and this offensive line, which was a veteran group coming back. How did you judge his performance?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us were disappointed at the start of this season because this was supposed to be a dominating group. And let's be honest, through the first half of the year, it was not. I mean, it was not the kind of experience, you know, it was an experienced veteran group, but it didn't play like it through the first half of the season. So I did think they were better down the stretch. Obviously, they were a big part of the 4-game winning streak to close out the season, but I really thought there'd be a more, you know, more oomph to those guys, I guess you could say, and more fight and more grit and all that early on in the year. When they moved Will Fries inside. I thought that was when this group was really at its best and Caden Wallace came in to play tackle. I just think that it took them too long to realize that that was the right way for them. And look, maybe Phil Troutwine, it gets a pass for that because maybe he would have figured that out had they had a normal spring practice, had they had a normal summer camp. Maybe he just didn't have the opportunity to evaluate all of that. But, you know, the players had talked a lot about with Troutwine, it was kind of like a getting back to basics and things were a little bit more simple and all of that. And there were a lot of times early on where it didn't look like they were playing simple football. So I don't give him a failing grade, Jim, because again, they did turn it around in the latter half of the season. But certainly, I think we all expected a little bit more from that group. And, you know, when they were good, Kirk Shiraka's offense was good. So I know we got to get to him as well. And, you know, I think that those conversations kind of go hand in hand that, you know, Phil Troutwine's group wasn't great for the entire season and neither was Kirk Shiraka's offense as a whole. But when Phil Troutwine's offensive line was good, then, you know, they obviously were pretty darn good as a whole as an offense. So, you know, for him, again, I wouldn't give him a failing grade, but it's not certainly an A-plus either.
Okay, you mentioned Kirk Shiraka. Let's get to him. He was the biggest name hire, the new offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. Certainly the first part of the season, poor performance at quarterback, poor performance overall for the offense, and then it looked like they found the formula that worked for them. How do you judge Kirk Shiraka's first season with the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, I would say C+, B-. You know, I think that when you look at that first year, and obviously you have to make everything with the COVID asterisks, but, you know, I really thought that there were times where it just felt so boring, quite frankly, of an offense. And it didn't feel like, you know, whatever stuff he had done at Minnesota. You know, when he got here, he said that one of the things he was excited about was mixing the best parts of Penn State's offense with the best parts of what he did at Minnesota. And I don't know how you felt, Jim, but I felt like there were a lot of times where he took the worst parts of Ricky Ronnie's offense and just kept rolling them out there. So, you know, obviously, you know, with Sean Clifford struggling for a good part of the year, that was a part of the challenges. And, you know, you lose your top two running backs and that part of your offense struggles to get going for a handful of weeks. But yeah, I think that for everything we saw that Minnesota team do to Penn State, there were a lot of high expectations and high hopes of what this Penn State offense could look like with him running it. And I don't think they ever really reached those goals and hopes in 2020.
I think one of the things that gets forgotten when we talk about the previous year and what Minnesota did to Penn State, what's forgotten is early in that season with Minnesota, they struggled quite a bit against some very nondescript, not very good opponents.
Right.
So it took them a little while to catch their stride. That certainly was the case this year. And my biggest question with Kirk Shiraka was the poor play at quarterback early from Sean Clifford. We expected more in that regard. Stick around for our next segment. We're going to talk about that fine 2022 Penn State recruiting class.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.